like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with a returning guest and a someone who's been a guest host on an episode last year. So you've been kind of very involved in the local podcast community, and we'll get into all of that about why sort of I feel like we met years and years ago on an episode of the podcast when you were playing with an unrelated band here. And then, you know, many years later, you got more into the podcast community. You have your own show. You're on campus radio. So you're sort of very enmeshed in this whole community we have going on here as well. So I think the best way to start this off, because we are focusing on your music today, is for you to introduce yourself, give a bit of background about what you do as an artist, and we can take it from there.
I'm Andrew Richott. I've been doing solo stuff on and off since about 2013, probably longer than that, you know, four track recorders and stuff in the late 90s. But it really picked up around the pandemic, and I've done, I think, 3 albums and 2 EPs of music that were relating to the caregiver's journey that I was going through with my wife, who passed last year. So from 2020 until 2024, I was her caregiver.
Yeah.
And most of the music is centered around how we were feeling, how I was feeling, and then just other random stuff that was happening that was affecting us during that time.
So this, obviously, based on that subject matter, I mean, and the inspiration for those records, I mean, this is all very personal material. I know the songs, they work outside of knowing that context, but I mean, you know, sort of dealing with the emotions and things that you were going through during that time is kind of what the records are about, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And there, I mean, there was other stuff in there too. Like this one actually has a 2 or 3, I had a significant family fallout while all of this stuff was going on.
Oh, wow,
so
good.
I think 3 of the songs are specifically about family members, but you know, I metaphored them up enough so that it's not completely obvious, if that makes sense.
That's good, yeah. Unless they're listening to this and then they realize, wait, maybe this is about me. But yeah, you never know. You never know.
They won't listen to this.
Perfect.
That's how good the family part is going. Yeah, right. They won't hear this.
Right. So, I mean, I guess maybe a good place to start then is, you know, you're dealing with all of this very heavy subject matter. Family falling out, obviously, you know, your wife's passing, all of the work you did leading up to that in terms of being a caregiver. I probably asked you this last time you were on the show too, but like, do you find this to be cathartic to get all this out in this form?
I did. Since she passed, she was kind of my muse for a lot of the stuff. So since she passed, it's been hard to pick up an instrument.
Sure.
Even going, like most, I would say 85 to 90% of this album was done. There were a couple where I was like, I need to redo the vocals. And the day that I put it out, it was really early in the morning. I had just come back from being overseas on a trip. And it was like, I was still not acclimating to the time.
Yeah.
And so it was like 3 in the morning and I did a vocal track and went, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to put it out now. Like, because if I don't, I might never. And I think I finished most of it around spring of 2024.
Okay.
She passed in June of 2024, and then after that it was like, well, I'm not, you know, life is different now, who am I?
Sure. Yeah.
And I kept thinking about all this stuff and coming back around to it, and then I like once every few months I'd go, maybe this part needs a guitar, and then I would take the bass out of my case and hold it and then just crumple and then put it back in the case.
Yeah.
So it's been on me for quite a while, and there was just a point where I went, you know what? It's not perfect. It's not, I could do a lot more with it, but this is how I was feeling then. And if I edit it too much, it pulls away from how I was feeling when it was like the closest to the end.
So it's interesting that the timeline there, because I had assumed when you put this out, this is something you had made after she'd passed, but this is all music from before that. So, do you have, I mean, now that, you know, the caregiving journey is obviously over because of how things ended up, do you have another record in you to talk about sort of what came after that? Or are you happy to leave it, this whole sort of series of releases, leave it sort of where it is? I mean, obviously it's probably the heaviest subject matter you can have, right? So, I mean, is that there in you, or are you?
It's too early to tell. When I put this out, I'm in a band with Jameson Day, who was the person that I interviewed in the last time.
Yeah.
And him and the drummer, have been on me softly for months about kind of getting things back together and going from there. And even he had a bonfire with a bunch of friends, and they were all sitting around playing music, and they were continually trying to even just offer me to play. And I'm like, I'm not there yet. I really don't know. It might be a year from now. I think as a solo artist for now, this is it. Musicians should never say never anyway, but I think for the time being, this is a good finale.
Yeah.
To where I was.
So
I don't know.
No, that's totally a fair answer. How do you feel about this recording now that it is out? I mean, now that this is potentially sort of the end of that whole chapter as a creative person, under that name, I'm not sure if that's a name you'd use to continue on with or whatever, but I mean, this is sort of definitely some kind of an end point. How do you feel? Have you listened back to it sort of since it's been out? And has that changed sort of your perception on the whole build up to making it?
It's interesting to me. I think listening to it now brings me back to that period where it was, some stuff was really bad.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that gets me most is wondering where I could find the time to write this stuff while being completely burnt out. And some of the stuff on here is kind of different from what I'm used to. I had started to, I bought this little keyboard that I could plug in and just mess around with. And you hear it a lot more on this stuff than on anything I'd done before. I don't know how to play piano. So it was just like, well, if I do one track with this note and one track with that note, maybe it'll, and so I could hear my musical, I was expanding more as a musician in that way, which is cool.
Yeah.
There's a lot of more sort of sludgier songs. But the last song on this album is actually a recreation of a song from my first solo album that I was never happy with.
Okay.
It's almost exactly the same musically, but I've changed the lyrics to be about, I changed the lyrics to be about a specific thing that my wife did. We went to Mexico for her to get a procedure. So the album is How Strength Creates Tolerance. If you cut it into HSCT, that's the procedure she had.
Oh, interesting. Okay. And that's what you have on the album cover too. The initials are there, not the note. Okay.
Yeah. So it's, it's a stem cell transplant. And so a lot of this stuff was sort of written around that time, which was 2021. And her going into the hospital for significant periods of time it's a lot of it is around that.
Okay.
The last song is sort of like, keep it together as long as you can, basically. And it mirrors the last song on my first solo album, which was similar in that I was going through something really dark then too.
Okay. Do you feel like you're the type of creative person who not needs dark emotions to create, but do you need that like deeply personal connection to be able to do something like this? Like, is there, assuming you get back to playing music, are we going to hear just like some album about nothing from you at some point in the future? Like, well, that's kind of what I mean.
I don't think so. Nope. even the lightest stuff has, like, I love writing something that's obvious to me that isn't obvious to anyone else.
Yeah.
Or that they can look into it and be like, oh, I recognize what whatever that is to something. That's sort of my jam. Even there's a, in the band, there's some Dark Star songs that, like specifically one called Crooked Ice, that is, it sounds like it's, you know, talking about someone not falling through the ice, but it certainly isn't that.
Right, right.
Like, so I enjoy that, you know, the depth. It's a therapy process for me.
Sure. We'll be right back. Well, and it's interesting that you say that too, because not the therapy part, but what you just said before that, because on your Bandcamp, you have the, you know, little button where you can click for lyrics. It also has these kind of like one paragraph descriptions of what the song is about. And they're not super specific. I mean, some of them, like you said, some of these songs are about people that you're trying to be somewhat vague about. And that's there too in the descriptions. But I guess, like, why was it important for you to include those?
I think a lot of the time, you know, a lot of people don't sort of know where it comes from or don't have the, you know, there's people that will listen to it surfacey and people who will want to know a little bit more.
Of course, yeah. That's with anything.
I don't want to, I don't want to give everyone everything. I want to give them enough to go like, wonder what that could be. So that they're, if you're really listening to it, you might sort of understand where I'm coming from.
Okay. But you wanted to keep it vague enough that it's not like, hyper-specific. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, this one's about my mom. You know, I don't want to.
Right. Well, that takes away from the relatability too, right? I mean, if it's just like some experience that other people may have had with other family members or whatever, I mean, they can at least put themselves in that place. But yeah, if you're naming names and stuff, it kind of, as fun as that might be, it sucks people out of the universality of it.
Exactly. And she'll never hear it. She'll never know which one of them is about her, but there is one about her.
Right.
Now that I've said that, I might as well just leave it.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. So I know you mentioned, you know, the keyboard thing and then sort of the sludgier vibe of some of these. Is that, I mean, sonically, it does still sound like other stuff. I mean, obviously you have a feel that you've sort of developed over the course of doing this solo project. And do you think there's been, aside from the instrumentation thing, I mean, has this been sort of a natural progression with the sound, or are you actively trying to sort of make alterations from record to record?
I like to move on just like slowly, you know, I like to sort of slowly put more and more into it as I'm trying to get closer to what it sounds like in my head.
Okay.
You know, and what really drove this is, so I'm playing everything on it except the drums.
Right.
I downloaded a drum, you know, you can get like drum samples. I think it's 606 or something. I can't remember what it was, but the start of the second song, sorry, the third song, was that specific drum that I heard in the commercial that I saw somewhere.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
Like, and I was like, oh my God, I need that drum bit. So I started just riffing off the drum beat. I'm like, oh my God, that was the first thing that really started the whole process. So I'm like, well, I'm still in that sludge zone. But there are, you know, in order to sort of open it up, I wanted to stay within the same framework of that like sludgy, darky stuff.
Yeah.
But at least sonically be a little bit more open and like test myself a bit to be open to different ideas. There's a spoken word one on here too.
Yeah.
And the seventh one, the lyrics were sort of, I was struggling a lot with the lyrics on that. I had the title before the lyrics and the music fit perfect. So we're just one day, like 3 months ago, on my 12th look through all the songs and wondering what I could do with them, I just started talking.
Yeah.
So that's a first take lyric.
Oh, very cool.
That I ended up keeping because it really hits what I was trying to write but couldn't get to.
Yeah, that's kind of cool that ended up being the solution to to making it work. Yeah.
Just talk.
Yeah, why not, right? I mean, it's a perfectly valid form of, I mean, especially when you're talking about a personal record like this.
Keep coloring the problem while I'm up.
I mean, I know you've mentioned the sludgy thing a few times, and I don't know how you define, I mean, this is the horrible question that no one likes answering, and I'm sure I asked you something similar the first time around, but
probably,
you know, with something like this, it obviously is not, it's heavy and it's, you know, it's fuzzy and all that, all the rest, but I don't know if sludge is necessarily the term I'd use to describe sort of the all encompassing sound. Well, how do you define what this is? I mean, I know it's sort of your thing, which has progressed over the past few things, but if you had to give a name to the thing, what is the name that that thing would think?
Oh, I think the thing, oh, now I'm doing it.
Yeah.
The reason I call it sludge is because when I listen to a couple of the songs on here, and more specifically, I'd say that my last cover album and the stuff before that, it's like you're walking through mud.
I can see that. Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's
slow and almost atmospheric kind of.
Wiping it from your glasses, you know, so there's still stuff there that's bright.
Sure.
Or like melodic, but there's still dirt all over you. It's kind of the way that I feel about the way that it sounds.
No, that's a good Actually, I like the stepping in mud because one of my favorite descriptions of dub reggae is sounds like you're stepping in glue. Same thing, you know, everything's slowed right the hell down, and it's interesting that two completely different genres could have that same feel to them. And I get what you're saying for sure. Is that something that you sort of developed from based on stuff that you were listening to, or is that just sort of how this comes out?
I think it's a bit of both. I think even like the stuff that is on the really, really early album on Bandcamp, which was, I think, 2012, which was the first one.
Yeah.
I think even then it still has that sort of spacey, muddy feeling to it.
Yeah.
I think it's just an amalgamation of all the stuff that I was listening to, you know, like early Queens of the Stone Age is sort of my thing.
Sure. Sure. I can see that. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that sort of weirdly tuned, swampy mud stuff,
kind of stoner vibe, but not quite. Yeah. Still sort of on the alt rock area. Yeah.
I think mine's a little bit sadder than stoner, but yeah, I totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, there's definitely a Saturn. I think that's a given. Yeah.
Yeah, it comes with what I'm talking about, I guess.
But that's interesting too, because I mean, just knowing you, I don't know you super well, but we've had enough conversations, and you listen to a lot of other stuff that is way outside of that.
My radio show is not at all what I'm playing.
Exactly, right. So you listen to all kinds of things. So what is it about that stuff that sort of has stuck with this project? Because, you're obviously a massive Radiohead fan, for example. I wouldn't say that much of this would be, comparable or at least overtly influenced by that. Maybe it is in ways that I'm not picking up on. But you know what I mean? I mean, you obviously have a bunch of other interests. So what is it about this sludgy, stepping in mud stuff that has stuck with you?
By the way, I have a radio show Wednesdays at 2 p.m.
UMFM. We'll do the plugs. We'll do the plugs again.
I know, but I just felt like that was the perfect time.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
I've been chasing, when I was a teenager and even into my 20s, I was sort of chasing that sort of heavier Nine Inch Nails side.
Sure.
And I think that's sort of what stuck around. Like, there's the Year Zero Nine Inch Nails album. That is like survivalism is a perfect example of the sound that I wish that I could have.
Okay.
And that I was sort of chasing always in my music. There's something about that that's both like abrasive, but also dirty that I've connected with all the time. And I think that's sort of in my head, there's like a swamp of Radiohead and Nine Inch Nails more than anything else.
Okay.
And that's sort of, I think, where it comes from. You're right. When I do, talk to someone or make a playlist for someone, it's mostly right now, it's like female musicians playing guitars, indie guitar. But I can't write stuff like that. I haven't written stuff like that in forever. I don't know where you even start.
Yeah. No, fair enough. That makes sense. You got to write where you know, right? But even the Nine Inch Nails, I mean, obviously there are exceptions in their catalog, but they are very good at... making things that are very abrasive, but can also be extremely like melodic at the same time. And sometimes within the same song too, right? It's not, sometimes they'll be, here's the melodic song. Here's the really fucked up song, but they can also, they can also blend them pretty well. And I feel like, not that your record is super melodic, but there are definitely points where it's leaning away from the sludgier side and definitely brighter is not the right word, obviously, based on the subject matter as we've discussed. Well, but you know what I mean? It's got more kind of more light to it, more levity to it almost.
Yeah, it's almost like turning the volume down and turning up. There's a couple of like pretty electronic-y stuff on it.
Yeah.
I don't really know where those ones came from. I think it's just messing around within my framework and then it just like, whoa, this sounds great, as an effort to expand my horizons. And so, as I mentioned earlier, that this is my last solo album. I think if I kept going, it might end up more electronic based than it would be the heavier stuff.
Okay.
And I feel like that's sort of where, when I listen to this again, I think that's sort of where I was progressing in a lot of ways. Like the guitar was pulling back a bit and there was more, I don't want to say bleeps and bloops, but that's the best word
I can use. It is. Bleeps and bloops is a totally acceptable word to describe electronic music. Yeah, I use it all the time. Because what works better, right? I mean, I'm sure there's a technical term that is much more accurate than bleeps and bloops, but
that's what it is.
Right, it's bleeps and bloops, yeah. obviously you're not playing live shows with us, clearly. I mean, this has been very much like a studio thing for you, and a cathartic way to get some of these heavy feelings out and thoughts out. So what, you know, you're releasing these on Bandcamp. Obviously they're available. People can hear them, but what is sort of the, who is this for? Is it mainly just for you to sort of get this stuff out, or are you hoping that there's sort of a, do you have a listener in mind that you're hoping will find this? Because again, you're not playing shows. People are going to probably stumble upon it, whether they see a link somewhere, hopefully on this podcast, or, or they're just, you know, scrolling through Bandcamp as you do and finding interesting stuff. Like who do you want to find this? Who do you want to actually be able to sort of absorb this stuff?
Well, it is for me, it's a chapter in my sort of grief journey.
Sure.
Primarily. And I have talked to the guys in the other band about maybe playing a song from this or not.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Depending on how it fits, because it'll sound different coming out of them than it will here, you know, that, and that's down the line. But anyone who, is someone caring for someone else, no matter what that is, like, will find similarities in this. Like, they're sort of written and geared towards people who have a hard time being able to talk about how hard it can be for you to give everything you have to another person who's struggling.
Like, sure.
I know I probably mentioned this last time, but that was 2 or 3 years ago. But, you know, it's as someone who is caring for someone else, it's not about you. It's about that person.
Yeah.
And even
course,
in a situation where, you know, someone's like, how are you doing? The immediate response is like, do you want the short answer or the long answer?
Right. Right. Yeah.
And so this is cutting right to it. It's like, songs are, you know, you can't give up. Other ones are like, you and I, we can do this together.
Yeah.
You know, 10 and 2 is about someone. The metaphor is basically the two of us are driving a car and we're struggling to keep the car together. So okay. 10 and 2 is how you hold your hand on the wheel.
Yeah.
So as you keep listening to it, their hands continue to slip. You'll hear the different numbers, like 6 and 12, because you're having a harder time keeping it together.
Okay.
And so anyone who's cared for someone else has had those days where it's like, you know, you and the person are just having this disgustingly horrible day, but you know you have to keep it together. So
yeah, yeah.
That's kind of it.
Well, and that transcends a lot of different situations, right? I mean, it's not specific to yours. I mean, obviously, you're specifically drawing from your experience, but a lot of people in wildly different situations can also appreciate that, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are a couple where it's family related. I would say almost half of the first half is about how to manage relationships within your family when they are no longer something you need,
right?
Or are no longer healthy. So that's, and that everyone goes through some version of that in their lives as well.
To different extremes, right? For sure. But yeah.
It's like, okay, well, I got to turn this off now. Here's how I'm going to deal with it.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously this is the musical project. You do a bunch of other things. I know you snuck a plug in there earlier, but we can always do plugs for the other projects. I mean, you've also been involved, and I like to plug this all the time, is in our little podcast community. We have a group of semi-regulars and semi-regulars who meet once a month to talk about podcasting and other nerd shit, you know, at Robin's Donuts. And you kind of joined our little group, I guess, a year or two ago now, or how long has it been?
Yeah, it was just actually... You guys were the first people I hung out with after she passed.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. That's kind of neat. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Cause you were like, how you doing? And I was like, I'm trying really hard not to bring the feeling down around here, but you know, not great.
That's right. Actually, Yeah.
But yeah, so it's been about a year and a bit. I really didn't know with the podcast that I have, it's not technically a Winnipeg podcast.
But you are in Winnipeg and your podcast, so it fits the criteria. But yeah, so you explain what your podcast is about.
So I have a co-host who lives in England. He and I met on a Discord server, and I found out that he knew nothing about Radiohead except Creep. So, this has been almost 2 years now. Every week is, we're going through the whole discography in order. So every week you'll hear the next song. So they're about 15 to 20 minute episodes. Sometimes they're an hour, depending on what we're watching. But you're listening to us as we listen to it for the first time. We then gave it a score. We have a third person who comes in who knows nothing about Radiohead and only watches the music videos.
Okay, okay.
So, and that's all you get. So those are up on Vimeo and some of them are on YouTube. And yeah, we're I think this week was episode 140 something.
How many songs are in the catalog? I know you keep track of this stuff pretty meticulously, right?
Yeah. If we keep going at the rate we're going, we pre-record quite a bit. So we'll do a session where it's the whole album and then it'll come out in 12 episodes. But if we keep going at this level, we would be done by 2029. So
there's a lot. That's a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's something like 400 songs. So they just came out this week with a live album. And I'm like, where do I put that in? We're not at that point of the discography. Do I put it in when we get to that album and then play it after, or do I put it away at the end? I'm like,
I'm actually really curious of how you'd even fit a live album in there anyway, because these are probably mostly songs that you've already discussed or will be discussing.
They're not.
Okay.
They're not. We're right at that moment where we're about to hit "Hail to the Thief."
Okay.
In our recording, so it might be the perfect time for me to play the album and then go right into the live album afterwards. You know, to just get it out and have it be fresh in his head, but we'll see.
I imagine there's a lot of material out there, like B-sides and live albums, things that if you wanted to pad this and make it go a little much longer than it already is, you could easily...
Some of them are already going.
Right on. Cool.
I think like if there are our 50th episode around there, we watched a 2-hour live video that they put out.
Okay.
We also watched the VHS that they put out in 97. And I met him for the first time 2 weeks ago when I flew to England. So that was like one of the main reasons I was there. And we went to see the Radiohead exhibit in Oxford.
Nice.
Where they have like, every room has one album and art and stuff like that too. So it was great.
Are you ever, I mean, this obviously is maybe a question for after 2029, but, I mean, there's also this whole kind of, cottage industry of Radiohead cover songs that have been done by everybody, right? I mean, is that something that you could see this going into as well once you run out of the OG versions?
Well, during the OK Computer sessions, I purposely found a cover because that's their most popular album.
Sure. Yeah.
Or well known. Yeah. I purposely found a cover for every episode. So we would listen to the original, he would rate it, and then I would show him a cover.
That's cool.
So I might down the line, that might be a really cool idea, but you could sure get lost in the amount of...
There's a lot. Yeah, there's
we could do 100 episodes on Creep.
I'm sure you could do a whole year and a half worth. Yeah, definitely. So maybe don't do that. But also, as you mentioned, you do a, you know, because you're not busy enough with all these other projects, you do a Campus Radio show, which I recorded one that'll probably won't be out yet when this comes out. Maybe it'll be very soon. But it's a lot of fun. What can you tell people about that show?
So you'll be on, September 17th is the episode you'll be on.
Cool.
It's called Alphabet Soup. It's every Wednesday at 2 p.m. On UMFM. Every episode is the next letter of the alphabet when it comes to artists or bands, which angers him quite a bit because the artists are listed by their first name instead of last.
Absolutely infuriating. But it's not my show, so I can't. I can only complain. I can't do anything to change it. So I will complain, a lot. But yeah, you know this.
Yeah, I'm gonna do a round just for you where it's all, you know, singers listed by last name first. I'm in the second round now, and when it comes to the third round, I'm going to do songs with the titles of those letters,
cool,
specifically, and then go back to other things. But a lot of mostly independent, up and coming, lots of Canadian, lots of, like I said earlier, women with guitars, which I think is there's so many that are happening now, and it's going to hit its peak eventually, but I'm just happy to be with it right now.
Cool. And then obviously there's various places online where people can find all of this stuff. Let's start with the record. We've mentioned Bandcamp a few times. What do you have as far as online presence for this project?
There's 8 releases that you can find on my Bandcamp, lift.bandcamp.com.
Lift with an E.
You can get the...
Well, I mean, it'll say in the title. You can get... So people should be able to figure that out, but
You can get all the discography for $37. That's 8 releases. Woo! Or the new one for $8. I'm not putting it on Spotify or whatever because that's too expensive.
And you'll make .00037 cents. So yeah, it's not worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it for that. The radio show is alphabetsoup.umfm on Instagram, where you can find all the old episodes, which are on SoundCloud. And the podcast is Head Full of Radio, which is available anywhere you find your
awesome
podcasts.
Awesome.
Times.